Well, morning, everybody. Man, there's a few people in here today. I absolutely love seeing you all. For those online, we got probably, 20, 25 people here today, don't we? All sitting nice apart and with masks on and such. And it's good to see you so much. Missed seeing everybody and miss you online as well. But I'm so glad you're able to join us there and be a part of the worship service. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God wherever you are. Amen. A few announcements as we get started this week. The first one is Bible study. We're still doing. We got a couple more weeks of it, and I hope you join us this Thursday. It'll be at 6:30 on Zoom. You can look on the Facebook website, You can look on the website. You can find a link to it. We've been there for about 45 minutes or an hour. It's a great discussion. So this Thursday, we'd love for you to be a part of that. We'll talk about women in the Christian tradition. The other one is this. This is something that you probably have already heard about through a mailer that went out to everybody, a newsletter. We figure this year the schools and the parents and the teachers and everybody needs more prayer than they've ever had. So on the 10th, is that a week from tomorrow? Is that right? Next Monday, right? Yes. Next Monday, we're going to have an all-day time of prayer for our schools, our children, our parents, our teachers, everybody. So you're going to see a video of it come out this week. And then you're also going to see it on our website, but you'll click a link and there'll be a sign-up genius. And you just pick an hour of the day that you're going to be in prayer. Now, we understand not everybody's going to pray for an hour. We understand that. But there may be 5 or 10 or 15 minutes that you can spend in prayer and meditation and thinking, even in service of the school, however you choose to do it. But that hour is your responsibility. So you'll see links to that. I hope you go to our website, our Facebook page. You'll find all of that information. But a week from Monday, we'll have that prayer time. And like I said, you're going to hear a whole lot more information as we go through the week. Any other announcements? Anything else going on? Jackie, yes. So for those online that may not have heard, we're doing great on the Angel Tree program for our friends on the streets for the fall. Of course, we do two of them. We do one for children. We do one for our friends on the streets. We're doing well with it, but we're looking for maybe softback books, hardback books, something like that that we can hand out as part of the ministry come Christmas time, right? So if you have any books, make sure you bring them in. Let me know. I can come pick them up, whatever we need to do, and we'll get that taken care of as well. Thank you all for that. In outreach, Jackie. Anything else going on in the life of the church? Well, if not, if you would please stand for our call to worship. It comes from Nehemiah 9. It's verses 5 and 6. One of my favorite calls to worship. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Please go to God and pray with me. Lord, we know that you give life to everything. We showed up this morning because we know that. We know that there was a beginning, and that in the beginning you created all things. You created us, and that we have the breath of life in our lungs so that we get to live in this world as you called us to live. We thank you, God, that there is a beginning and a creation for us. And we thank you, God, that there's a culmination of all things, that in the end, everything is resolved. All evil is destroyed and all goodness is exalted. And we thank you for that. And we understand, Lord, we're just sort of living in the mean times of it. So we ask you, God, in this time to remember us. Remember us as we say, we know you created us. Remember us when we say we have faith in your way. Remember us as we call on your name today, and remember us as we go into the world and live it out. We ask these things, God, because we need to be remembered. We feel very alone some days. We feel very by ourselves. And as we are remembered, as others in the Christian faith remember us, as we remember and think of others, suddenly that community comes together and it is a beautiful thing in your name. So we thank you, God, for this creation. We thank you that you allow us to live in it as you called us to live. And we thank you that someday it will be as beautiful as we anticipated it being. Lord, thank you for these things. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And we will have our first hymn of the day. Thank you all for leading us in music. Tell you what a miracle looks like. A miracle looks like all that they were doing was, it was just like sound waves, right? Just like this change in air pressure that happened up here some miraculous way, and it floats through the air and somehow hits us in the ear, and in the midst of that we can find God in it. That's what a miracle looks like. That's what that is that there's this little, it's just physics. It's just, I don't know what it is. And something happens, and in the midst of it, we find some peace. We find some energy to go and live life's call. And that's a miracle, man. That's the beautiful part of life, that we get to experience these moments that were so beautiful. So thank you all for leading us in that. Our offering last couple of weeks has been a lot of fun. We've done something. I hope that you participate in this. I know that there are a lot of different ways to express offering through art or music or words or whatever it is. Last week, Amy Bryan made Our Faith is Expressed Through Love and sent it to us, and that was the first thing I got, so it's the first thing I presented. In the background, you might hear some music. This is my mom, I assume, in the living room, if I was a betting man, over near the piano with a phone laid up there being recorded and celebrating God for a moment. This song is called Holy City, and it's a song that she's played since I was a little bitty kid, and she sent it to me and said she'd like to present it for everybody. And so we're going to set for a moment and listen to mom as she plays, and I hope that maybe you kind of process how you might offer something this week. What did you offer last week to the world? What might you offer this week? I hope that you offer something, and if you can, offer to the worship service. Here's mom. I appreciate you playing that for us. Yeah. So she sent two, and I'm gonna tell a lie, or not tell the truth, I'm gonna tell on you. The first one she said you can't tell them who played this. And then she said the second one, said, okay, you can tell them I played this one. This one's better. So it was absolutely beautiful. And I hope that you share your gift this week. Find a way you shared it last week. Find a way to share it this week, and know that that is an offering to God when we serve one another. So thank you for this. We also, by the way, next week is Savetta sent a video in of her playing the harp and singing. So we'll have Savetta, a friend of the church here. We'll have that next week. We need to be in prayer for some folks. We got one this morning, a prayer request for Patch Haley. This is a 22-year-old boy that has some 22-month-old boy, sorry, with multiple tumors throughout his body. This is a friend of Lizzie Stout, living out west, maybe Seattle, we think. But we need to be in prayer for that family. This little youngster is going through all kinds of difficulties, and we need to be in prayer for him. Also be in prayer for Leo. Y'all know Leo, who's been a part of the church. He is on the Appalachian Trail this next couple, 3 weeks. He decided that's where he was going to go hang out for a while. And it's going to be rainy and everything else, and so be in prayer for Leo as he kind of does some alone time. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Anything else going on in life or that we need prayer for? Suzanne, keep Cynthia Lucas in our prayer, absolutely. Cynthia is a co-worker of Suzanne's who's battling cancer, and wonderful person. We need to be in prayer for them. Is there anybody else?
The family of Dwight Stubblefield, he lives in Gary's hometown, and the family of Susie Taylor, who is my sister's sister-in-law.
So the families of Dwight Stubblefield and the family of Susie Taylor. We need to be in prayer for those families and the loss of a loved one. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
My cousin Rhonda, one of her very good friends, her father is very sick and on the respirator. He's been battling cancer and beat cancer, but he popped front. So they're having a hard time with that. But they're asking for everyone to pray that for God to show up and intercede for him. And, you know, if you beat cancer, we're going to beat Rhonda.
A friend of a friend is that is it's yeah.
My cousin's friend's dad.
Yeah.
I just know by Pops. That's what everybody calls him.
If he's Pops, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Everyone in the community knows.
Right.
Been around a long time.
So we'll be in prayer for him as he's battling not only cancer but COVID as well. So we'll be in prayer for him. Right.
Yeah. Other? We pray for my house too. We did a lot. We got a lot going on with Karen and everything else. So.
Yeah, we'll be in prayer for your home. Absolutely. Be in prayer for you all. Absolutely. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Let's go to God again in prayer, please. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for being able to turn to you because we know miracles happen. We know they occur. We know that you act in this world. And we also know that you call us to act in this world. So where people are hurting, we can go and be kind and loving and gentle and all those things that you would have us be in your name. But Lord, we also know that the burdens are too heavy for us to bear. We need to turn them over to you because we can't hold them on our own. And so we lift up all these different situations. We lift up Cynthia Lucas, Lord. We lift up Patch Haley. We lift up the families of Dwight Stubblefield and of Susie Taylor because we know, Lord, that those families are hurting right now. We ask for blessings. We pray for, Lord, for Jennifer's home. We ask, Lord, that your peace become on that place. And we also pray for Pops, who is fighting with these difficulties, these health challenges. Lord, we lift up these names to you because they're too heavy on our own. We don't understand why they occur. But we understand that your blessings can be found in the midst of them. And so we ask, Lord, for these things. And we ask them in your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we got two more. This is the next to last week of our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. Next week, you'll read ahead. There's not a fruit next week. It's the statement there's no laws that can go against this or that go, you know, there's no laws against these things. This week, we're going to talk about self-control, but we'll read the scripture again. Comes from Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and reads this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. One of the things that we haven't discussed in this sermon series as of yet is that in the fruit of the Spirit, there ain't but one fruit. There is a single fruit. Read it again if you need to. Well, it's gone now, but read it on your time. The fruit is singular. It's not plural. There are not all these other different kinds of fruits that you eat. And when you're in the Spirit, that's called a buffet. And Christianity is not a buffet. There is one fruit, and that fruit tastes like these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can taste all of that and more when you eat of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that is also not an exhaustive list. That's not everything that the Spirit tastes like. Paul used different words about the Spirit when he wrote other letters. He even talks about tongues and interpretations of tongues at one point. And there's not a Cumberland Presbyterian yet been trying to figure out what that meant. I'm just saying that the taste of what the kingdom is like is not only what is here, but this is an amazing description of it. If the fruit tastes anything like Paul said the fruit of the Spirit tastes like in Galatians, then, well, I want a bite, right? I hope that there aren't any that don't want to hear any wine talk today. My apologies if I offend, but I figured Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine, so I got a wine story. I don't have a discriminating palate. That's not what I have. I didn't even know that I was spelling palate wrong until I typed into the Google and it said, that's what you put stuff on, stupid. I didn't know. But I don't. I don't have a discriminating palate. I can't tell the differences in taste. Like Suzanne will be cooking and she'll say, this needs a little something. And then she'll look through the cabinet, not even know what she's looking for. And then she'll go, I think it needs that. And she'll put it in and then she mixes it up and it tastes fine. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. That's not what I do. So if somebody's going to have wine for dinner and I'm involved, then they can give the $10 cheap stuff and I ain't going to know any different, right? So I used to work for a company. But then, I used to work for a company called Silver Oak Limousine. It was not an original name. It was named that because two owners came up with the limousine company name when they were drinking Silver Oak wine. And so it's the good stuff. They made sure to tell me it was the good stuff. And they decided that they were going to name it after this Napa Valley wine that cost like $150 a bottle, right? Anyway, I was the manager of that limousine place for just a short minute or two. And one of the things that I got to do as part of the job was go to Boston with one of the owners of the limousine company to go to a limousine convention. Now, I didn't know there was such thing as a limousine convention until I got there. But this place was filled up with folks that wanted to go look at limousines and talk about limousines and whatever else. Well, the owner was real ambitious, if not a lot of other things. And he wanted to be partners with the biggest limousine companies in North America. And so he invited these huge limo companies from Boston and from L.A. and from Las Vegas and New York and everywhere to a big dinner that he put on at this fancy restaurant. It was, you know, all dressed up. It was a big show, right? Now, of course, being that our name went with the wine, that's what the owner decided he was going to order for the table. And so he ordered a bunch of these bottles of Silver Oak wine that cost $150 a pop. Now, I was pretty broke back then. Suzanne was in nursing school and we were just eking by, and I couldn't imagine spending that kind of money on anything. But there it was, so I figured, well, I want to see what the whole big deal was about. So I got a glass, expecting not to tell any difference in the world about it, you know. And I didn't know anything about these things, and so I tasted it, and at first it wasn't any different. You know, when I put it to my taste buds, it tasted the same. And then all of a sudden, man, boom, right? An explosion happened in my mouth. And I couldn't tell you what the tastes were. It was a cacophony. It was a whirlwind. It was a George Philip Sousa brass band in my mouth so much that I couldn't really tell everything that was going on. It was too much. I didn't expect it to happen. There was pepper and rose and oak and vanilla in that one taste. I couldn't even, is that coconut? Is that what that is in there? It was all in this one fruit. It was in one fruit, all these things. Somebody needs to hear me. It was one taste of one drink and one glass made of one fruit, and everything that you could imagine was in it. When it was all put together, when it was made right, when it was given the premium ingredients and the right patience in the proper way, it became something so much more than what we anticipated anything could be. Now, I'm not suggesting we go out and have wine for lunch. That's not my point. It's an analogy. Stick with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is just like that. It's just like that, except it's divine. The Spirit is just one fruit. And that fruit is the existence in this world. The fruit that we're talking about is God's own presence and God's own path lived out by the Son and the Spirit that still exists in this world and is as tangibly as the day that the Spirit hovered over the waters of creation. And when we drink just a little bit of that, when we take just a little bit of bite of that, what we taste is an explosion, a cacophony, a George Philip Sousa brass band full of love and trumpets heralding joy and harmonies of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control more than you could ever imagine exists in this world. We just have to take a bite and see. We got to go for the feast, man. This community that we have in here and online, this community called the Kingdom of God, when it's lived right, there is nothing like it that we have ever tasted. Amen. It's so good when God's will is done here that it's just like heaven. We prayed that just a few minutes ago. We weren't lying when we prayed it. We prayed, Your will be done on earth, Lord, just like it is in heaven. And when it's done, when the world is done like that, that's what the fruit is. We can taste it, man. When we live in it as God calls us to live, we better have a napkin ready. And we better have a bunch more plates and a bunch more napkins too and a big old long table that we can fit everybody on, because we feast with everybody when we feast of this. We're supposed to go hunt the alleyways and then go out past the gate if we have to make sure that everybody knows how good this fruit is. This fruit, y'all, is the Kingdom of God, and we're in the community that feasts at God's table. Hear me, listen to this. This fruit is the community. Live like Jesus Christ taught us to live. When we live in it, this list of Paul's and so many other words just like them are what life is like. The fruit is what it's like to live in the Kingdom of God. Love, joy, peace. You know them. You know them. But it's hard these days, right? Let's be honest about it. These days it's hard to feast. We live in a fractured existence. That's all there is to it. Everything is divided up on politics or identity or whatever. Sunday dinner conversations anymore are landmines. And we don't even have sports to get us through. And we're under a ton of stress, y'all. Some financial, some social, some mental stress. And what's worse, we can't figure out when this virus that we've been talking about is ever going to end. What's all clear look like at this point? Do we have any clue at this point what the future holds? This has been a terrible inconvenience at best and deadly at worst. My sister-in-law's got it. Her symptoms are incredibly mild, but her husband has it, and you know, we'll see. He's not in good health. The world is weird now, and we just wish things were different, and that's something that every single one of us can agree on, I believe. We just wish the world was different, and so it's hard to get a good taste in our mouths these days. It's hard to eat of that fruit. When I was a little kid, my Uncle Dave drank buttermilk. So we were sitting at the table one day eating my Grandma Effo's cornbread. That's what we called her, Effo. She made biscuits and cornbread, and she made them well. And Uncle Dave had a glass of full of buttermilk sitting in front of him, and that old paper carton, you remember cardboard carton that was sitting there too, right in front of him. He was serious about this cornbread and buttermilk situation. Anyway, I didn't like milk back then, still don't. But I read that carton, and it said it was buttermilk. And that sounded better than regular milk. It tastes like butter, so I like butter. I used to go in the fridge and just open, get some butter and just eat it. So I thought, this must be great, buttermilk. So I asked Uncle Dave for a drink, and he laughed, and he told me he didn't think I'd like it that much. And I pestered him again 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. I probably pestered him 15 times. And then finally he relented. Probably he wanted just to shut me up. And so he said, yeah, let me get you a glass. And he poured me a glass, and so I took a drink. I don't like buttermilk. Don't do it. Don't do it. Suzanne's got some at home in the fridge for a recipe. Don't try to put it on your cereal. Don't do it. No, what we need to do is eat of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be feasting in God's presence. We got to be chewing on that and see what it tastes like, because it's got to be better than the buttermilk we've been drinking. That doesn't mean we don't hold opinions. It doesn't mean we don't have beliefs on what's going on in this world. Lord knows I do. But what I'm saying that is, in everything we do, in everything we are, in everything we believe, we need to make sure that the juices of this fruit roll all over it. It's time we feast in God's kingdom on love. Lord have mercy, this world needs more love, doesn't it? Doesn't it need more people feasting on joy? Peace. Doesn't it need more people worshiping through and going through peace? Patience. No, the world doesn't need more patience, does it? I mean, I love it when I get to taste these things, amen? It's better than buttermilk. It's the fruit of the Spirit that we get to enjoy. And y'all hear me when I say this, to experience that, to really get to experience that, it requires something. And it produces something too. To experience that, to eat of the fruit when there's so much other fruit laying around, it takes some serious self-control. It takes us trusting God and committing ourselves to the way of Jesus Christ no matter what. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to say it like it is. It takes us saying that we are going to do something in God's way and then not giving two hecks nor hollers about what the world has to say about that thing, because we believe, and we believe because we've studied it and we've lived it and we've done it with everything we have, and we've done it with self-control. And that's tough, man. Because the world wants to rein in crazy about God Christians. And it has. It has reined us in. The world has too often co-opted the faith and had faithful doing worldly things rather than worldly people doing faithful things. And so it takes some self-control. It takes some want to be a person of faith. It takes some commitment, man. Salvation is not a magic trick and we're done. The salvation of God only gives us the want to do it. And it's with that want to do it that we go to work in the kingdom. God gives us that self-control, but we're the self in the equation. It takes some self-control now. Let me tell you this. It takes some self-control to study the Word. It takes some self-control to really want to know what it has to say about the kingdom of God. It takes some self-control to make sure that I'm reading the Scriptures, this ancient gift, man, this ancient gift that we are given. It takes some self-control to make sure we're studying it. The Bible isn't an easy read, y'all. We don't just read it. We study it. It takes some self-control to go to Bible study. Now, I ain't trying to call nobody out. I figure people can do what they do, and everybody in this room and watching me now on the computer are better than me on most days. So I ain't trying to get accusatory, but there were 5 people in Bible study Thursday night on Zoom. There ought to be more than that, man. You can find the link on Facebook, you can find the link on YouTube or our website, but it takes self-control to make sure that we are leaning forward into the faith and not sitting still. It takes some self-control to pray when watching TV is just as easy. Take some self-control to pray when daydreaming comes on so fast, or whatever it is. It takes self-control to be a prayerful person. That's why those people who meditate for so long amaze us, because it's not easy. It's hard. It takes some self-control to serve people when I'd prefer to do something else with them. Take some self-control to look at people like I ought to rather than how I want to. It takes some self-control to commit ourselves to the way and the life of Jesus Christ now and for all eternity. And once we humans get a glimmer of self-control, just a shimmer, once we fan that spark that's always been inside of us, God will provide wind for those flames. God will fan them, and we will see how beautiful the kingdom of God is. God will fan them as love is shared, and as joy is lived, and as peace is made, and as patience is extended. When kindness is lived out no matter what, God is there. When goodness is good everywhere, and faithfulness is faithfulness to the end, gentleness is seen in the world, is gentle in the name of God. We'll see the fans flamed when we live like that. And it will be easier each day to control ourselves and be in the community that God called us to be in, which is a beacon unto this world. And when we do that, when we have the self-control to eat that fruit rather than the junk food the world has to offer, the taste will be like nothing you have ever had. Nothing It might just cause somebody to sing in their living room today, like Paul did in the jail. There ain't no telling how somebody might worship if they felt it. Maybe in your life you've experienced this fruit. Maybe it's your main course. Maybe you eat nothing else. If that's you, you're eating well today. Praise God, man. If that's you, you're a witness to these things. You know what the good fruit tastes like. You know how beautiful it is when we all feast at God's table. You know this, and so you are the perfect person to go around sharing that fruit with everybody else that you can find. Go share it with everyone. You know what it tastes like. You are a fruit connoisseur. Go tell somebody. You're a fruit vendor. Except you give it away for free because it didn't cost you a thing either. That's what the gospel living is all about, man. That's what it's all about. They call me the burrito guy on the streets. That's my nickname. And that's just burritos. Imagine what they call you when you show up sharing the fruit of the Spirit everywhere you go, offering everybody the best fruit they've ever had. They might just call you Christian. God bless you. They might just call you that. But let me say this too. If you haven't tasted this fruit, or if you have and you just want a bigger taste, if you live life where sometimes chewing on hate and apathy is easier than chewing on love, you know, anxiety instead of joy and vitriol instead of peace, those sorts of things, if that's you, I got some fruit to sell you, y'all. It's free, but it'll cost you everything. There will be no more of the world's fruits, as tempting as they may be. There will only be one, and it will never, ever grow old, and I got some to sell you. It's filled with the best stuff you can ever imagine. It's perfect. And it just takes having a little bit of self-control that's already been given to you in your soul. The flames just need to be fanned a little bit that were born inside of you the moment that God breathed breath into Adam. I'm telling you, nothing else will satisfy. If that's you, if that's you want to taste that fruit, I pray that that's all you think about this week. I pray that that thought consumes you and you can't get away from the thought that you need to change your diet. I pray to God it causes you to eat the fruit of the Spirit and find out just how amazing that fruit tastes. My friends, eat that. Claim it. Live it. And know that there is nothing better than living in the fruit of the Spirit. It's better than anything, and nothing else will ever satisfy. So praise be to God that every day, every one of us can go and live in the world, and we can live in it for now and forevermore in the Spirit of God. And God's people said, amen. We will have one more song. If there are those who need to be in prayer, the altar is open. I ask you to keep a little distance and masks on. If you need prayers at home, if you just want to talk about any of this, man, send me a message. I would love to talk. God bless, and we'll see you next week. Leave some music. Yes, ma'am, you can, absolutely.
All right. I just don't feel like I can walk out of here without taking what you just said. Sunny, I'm going to sit down at home. I used to be here a lot years ago. So I just wanted to be better. Slowly but surely blending the line between black and white in my life, and it's coming on to a point for me right now. I want to get back in God's grace in my heart. I've had a lot of stuff going on, some other people's thoughts on mine, and with a lot of prayer and reflection, I feel like my choices started from bearing off of God's just the small things, like you were just saying. Your self-control. Sometimes other people push you in places where you have to stand up, you have to say no. You have to make the right choices when it's not easy. And I feel conviction, and I just want to ask God to forgive me one for not being here as much I want to. And there are reasons why I haven't and have, good and bad, mine and others. And I just ask God to forgive me and ask God to pray for me. And ask you to leave my house. I really need it. I just want you to know that I love you, and I always thank God for putting this church and all of you in my life. Some of you may not see me, but I do still touch with all of you guys in places, and I love you all. So please pray for me. Please forgive me, and I'm not going to be able to see it here, but I can walk out this door without just asking for God's strength.
Jennifer, can we pray for you right now?
Please.
Is it okay? Can we all go to God in prayer? If you sit beside somebody, you're willing to touch them and hold them, that's great. I understand. But let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up our sister. We ask, Lord, that you bless her with all of these fruits of the Spirit. Lord, give her a taste of it before she eats even. We know, Lord, when we're in the kitchen cooking, that the whole house gets filled up before we ever take a bite. And we just ask, Lord, that cooking that you have done, just fill this room and fill Jennifer's life and bless her and love her and give her these understandings prior to her ever taking a bite. And then give her the strength, Lord, to have her dive in into the fruit of the Spirit. Although we know she's a person of faith. I know she's a person of faith. I've talked to her a whole bunch, and I admire and love who she is, Lord. And we know that you love and admire who she is. And so what she's going through, it hurts. It's just what she's experiencing. And we ask you, Lord, to give her blessings. Give her everything she needs. Give her family everything she needs. Give Tyler everything that brother needs. Lift him up and love him, Lord. Love that whole house and bring it into a place of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and all those things that are of you. We ask these things, Lord, because we know if she didn't need them, she wouldn't have asked for them. So, Lord, be there with her and care for her and comfort her and give her all that she needs to live in this world as you have called her to live. We ask these things in your name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you all play? What a blessing this church has, and all the musicians that we have that share music. We miss John, we miss Ed tremendously. We love that you all sharing your music as well. I can't wait till you get to do that again. And there's probably others that I'm forgetting. Diana, we miss Diana playing the organ. Oh my goodness! And there's so many others. So who's that? Somebody else? Who else? Oh yeah, choir. It's the choir. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Someday we'll get to do that stuff again, and we're going to work toward it, but we've got to be careful and patient. Let's go to God again one more time in prayer. Lord, we thank you for convictions. We thank you that Our life is not just floating. Can be. We know that you give us rest too, but you also convict us. And we thank you, Lord, for that, because we know that however we are convicted is good. And we thank you, God, that you would do such things. So we ask, Lord, that you send us into the world and allow us to know that convictions aren't really big, hairy deals all the time. Sometimes they're just small moments that we need to act on in a certain way. And we ask that you give us the strength, the self-control, and everything that we need to be able to do it right. We ask these things, Lord, because you are the one that saves us. You're the one that provides us salvation, and we thank you so much for it. And so release us from this place, Lord, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen. It's good to see everybody again. I love you all so much. I can't see the smiles, though. They say you can see the smile in the eyes, but it's a lot. You can't, man. I thought you could, but you can't.